Blog Talk Radio.
Too loud. What's going on, everyone? Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Progressive Action TV show. Let me just make sure everything is working as designed, because it does look like the phone lines are working tonight. Let me just make sure that the other platforms are good. Let me just test the sound out real quick. Yeah. Everything is good. We are super live tonight. As you can see, the phone lines are open. You can call in live, 563-999-3714. It's going to be lit tonight, y'all. It's going to be lit tonight. We're going to talk about that brawl that happened on a boat in Brooklyn. We're going to talk about the New York State budget. We're going to talk about the lies and deceit of Local 100 regarding this New York State budget. I'm going to keep it 100 tonight, as always. I'm going to keep it 100. Now, like I said, if you want to donate to the platform, you can do it right there, $PROGRESSIVEACTION100. No matter which platform you're watching on, please make sure to hit that like button right now. Hit that like button right now. It's very important that you hit that like button right now. Let me just make sure everything's right over here. Let me just look at this real quick. Super hyped tonight to do this show. Super hyped tonight. And look, we're going to start it off with a little bit of promotion. We are 1 week away, a little bit over 1 week away, May 1st at 12 p.m. at 2 Broadway. We are having our assault safety rally. That's on Wednesday, once again, May 1st, 12 p.m. at 2 Broadway. Everyone's invited, strap hangers, workers, the community. Come out. Trust me, you're not going to want to miss this at all. You're not going to miss this at all. Now, I want to get through this show in a timely fashion because we have a lot of stuff to talk about. I will be interested to hear from, you know, the people out there that do want to call in. I see the number on the bottom of the screen. I don't know how many times I got to say it, but, you know, we here. So let's get into some news. I don't know if y'all see what's going on here. New York City is proposing a speed limit change of 10 miles per hour on some city streets, 20 miles per hour on most city streets, and 25 miles per hour on roads with at least 3 lanes of traffic in one direction. Now, I don't know. It seems like the powers that be have a war against cars in New York. And you want to know what? At this point, I am convinced they want to turn New York City into an entire pedestrian plaza. What is going on in the city? Now, when we think about it, right, let's think about this for a second. We got all these pedestrian plazas. We have congestion pricing. We have these speed limit changes. They're going to turn this city into a bike city, a walking city. And they're trying to frustrate drivers as much as they can to get them onto the subways and the buses. That's all this is. That's all this is. They want to turn New York City into a whole pedestrian plaza with bikes and forcing you to ride the subway. That's why they go do the congestion pricing thing. And I want you guys to remember this. When the congestion pricing comes, don't think that that price is going to be fixed, whatever they go make it this year. Just like the subway fares, the price will keep going up, will keep going up and keep going up. I don't know what are they thinking with all of this stuff, right? It boggles my mind. Why are they doing these things? Let's jump to some MTA news real quick. MTA bus driver pepper sprayed in the face by disorderly passenger who refused to pay the fare. Now, everyone knows that if any other person in this union stands up for workers, it's Tramell Thompson, right? I have no idea why some bus operators was mad when I made my post telling bus operators, stop challenging people on the fare. Stop it. Makes no sense. Tell y'all to press that F5 button. Keep it pushing. We already had a bus operator get killed, stabbed up on the B-46 on the corner of my block at that, on Gates and Malcolm X, for asking about the fare. Right? Some people is connected to that fare box, and maybe they think that, you know, when people walk past them, it's a sign of disrespect. No. They're not disrespecting you. They just don't care about the MTA. It's business. It's not personal. So I want to remind you guys once again, please do not challenge these people on the fare. You press F5, you keep it pushing. It's as simple as that. You press F5, you keep it pushing. Because guess what? Whether they pay or not, your paycheck is going to be the same. You're going to get paid whether they pay or not. It's obvious that the MTA do not care about the fare. You're not a security guard. You're not the fare enforcer. They have the Eagle team for that. They have NYPD transit for that. You just press F5. That's all I want to tell my fellow bus operators. And shout out to the bus operators I seen at East New York Depot the other day. Shout out to the bus operators I seen at Flatbush Depot the other day. It's always a pleasure when I come out there and I pop up and I see you guys. It's always love. So shout out to those other depots. And I am going to be making the round all the other depots very soon. Now, like I said, a bus operator got pepper sprayed and a transit worker in the subway got pepper sprayed. On-duty MTA worker pepper sprayed after waking woman on Bronx subway train, says the NYPD. This is another thing that I don't understand why you do it. Once again, I want y'all all to listen to me right now. We are not anyone's alarm clock. If you find a sleeping passenger on the train, see, there's a whole procedure when we're going into the terminal. The conductor makes announcement saying that this is the last stop. Everyone must detrain, and that's that, right? If they don't, first of all, they're not supposed to be sleeping on the property. If they do not hear that, it is not the train operator job, it is not the conductor job, it is not the terminal car cleaner job to wake anyone up. It's not even the supervisor's job to wake anyone up. It is not in anyone's rule book to wake up a sleeping passenger. Stop it. You're not going to get in trouble if you do not wake up a passenger. And if you happen to get in trouble for not waking up a passenger, you make sure to contact me. We're going to get down to the bottom of that. Now, in more news, Anyone want an MTA job? The MTA is hiring 2,000 bus operators. There is a job fair on Saturday, April 27th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at 130 Livingston Street, Brooklyn, New York. Applications are being accepted for positions with MTA Bus Company and MapStore. Bring your resume, social security card, driver's license, valid for 3 years, and proof of commercial driver's license or permit. Those who are not processed on the same day will be given a future appointment. You must pass a drug screening to be appointed as a bus operator, and if appointed, you will be subject to random drug alcohol tests for the duration of your employment. Be advised that the federal DOT drug panel includes marijuana, and you will be tested for marijuana use. So if you are looking for a job with the MTA, make sure to go to 130 Livingston Street this Saturday. Right now, this is another thing that I want to talk about regarding, you know, the MTA hiring more personnel, right? So what I wasn't aware of was that the overtime is dwindling, specifically speaking in subways, right? And, you know, it makes sense. Whenever the MTA do a mass hiring or hire a lot of people, there's less overtime to come go around because you have people to cover those jobs. Now, with the MTA hiring 2,000 more bus operators, I'm thinking the same thing, that overtime may be affected in those departments, in that department, MTA Bus and MapStore, which means that you're going to really feel the effect of how good our contract really is. See, this is what I say. This is what I say. Listen clearly. And let's be honest. How many people will be able to comfortably survive if MTA only gave you 8 hours of work? No penalty job, no working on your day off, no extra trips, no nothing. How comfortable would you be working just 8 hours a day and surviving off of that salary? I'm going to take a wild guess and say about 80% of the people probably won't make it. Probably won't make it, because the truth is, specifically speaking, for this past decade plus, this union administration, Stand United, a.k.a. management, members first, whatever they want to be, have been negotiating inferior contracts compared to other city agencies. And I'm talking about city agencies that have the same workforce as us or with alleged strong unions, right? So we're talking about NYPD, sanitation, corrections, teachers, all of those titles, those agencies make more than transit workers. This is the fact. We're talking about 8 hour to 8 hour. This is the fact. Transit workers, we will not be able to survive living off 8 hours. So all of y'all say, oh, I don't want to get into politics. I don't like politics. I don't. Listen, everything in our life revolves around politics. Your groceries, your gas, your rent, your going to get a loan at a bank, your wages, your health care, work rules, congestion pricing. Anything, the laws, anything that you could think of revolves around politics. So for everyone saying that they don't get involved with politics, we got to change that approach and start getting involved with politics and start understanding it and getting involved with voting, specifically speaking, voting in our union elections, because it's pretty obvious we have been having weak president after weak president after weak president negotiating our contracts. People will have their reservations about Roger Toussaint all they want. One thing I know that Roger Toussaint know how to, he did very well, was organize and mobilize the members and get them excited to take action. That is a fact. So let's get into some disturbing news a little bit. We have a man reading a book stabbed 9 times by a stranger in New York City Port Authority bus terminal. And let's look at what it says. A man reading a book at Manhattan's Port Authority bus terminal early Monday was stabbed and wounded by a crazed stranger in an unprovoked attack, police source said. The 65-year-old victim was sitting reading a book in the Greyhound area of the busy Midtown station when he was stabbed 6 times in the front of the neck, 2 times in the back of the neck, and 1 time in the right arm at about 5:40 a.m., police said. Port Authority police officers Jordan Eugenis and Antonio Peterson were patrolling one level above inside the terminal on West 42nd Street and 8th Avenue when they heard the victim screaming. The officers ran downstairs, saw a struggle, and broke it up, only to realize one of the men was holding a 4-inch knife, sources said. Drawing their guns, they ordered the man brandishing the blade to drop it twice before he did so. That's pretty scary. That's pretty scary. Everybody worrying about guns, and there's all types of weapons happening, being used in New York City, specifically speaking, in our transportation areas. I will advise everyone to remain diligent and pay attention to what's going on. Now, real quick, everybody that's watching, I just want to remind you, please hit that like button. I don't care which platform you're watching me on. Hit the like button. Share it out if you can. We got to break this algorithm. We have to break the algorithm of what they got us on. Now, this is a topic that I'm very passionate about. And it is about reasonable accommodation for pregnant women on a job. If anyone knows my plight here in New York City Transit and Local 100, is that I've been advocating for women as far as reasonable accommodations and things like that. I went to the MTA board. I had rallies. I done written plenty of articles. I done did plenty of shows talking about it. And it's good to see some action actually happening regarding a lawsuit with the women. And this was put out in, I believe, the City publication. Pregnant bus drivers say they're not getting a due accommodations. Women who work for the MTA Surface Transit Division say they aren't being given the same option of light-duty jobs as they get closer to their delivery dates. And let's look at a little blurb at what it actually says. According to court papers to be filed in Manhattan Supreme Court, pregnant bus operators who are no longer able to drive buses and passenger service are being put in a position where they have to use their accumulated sick time, comp time, and other time off in order to get paid. Some have high-risk pregnancies or symptoms and complications that have their doctors say should keep them off the road. It's really terrifying for a lot of these women to not know when they will have a paycheck coming in again, said Lane Armstrong, a lawyer for the women. The lawsuit comes as the MTA workforce is increasingly female. December 2023 agency records show that in the first 9 months of last year, 30% of New York City Transit's 3,053 new hires were female. For the MTA's overall workforce of more than 70,000 employees, 13,866, or 19%, were female. In 2019, 23% of New York City Transit's 2,305 new hires in the first 8 months of that year were female, with 18% of the MTA's overall workforce comprised of women, according to agency records. Now, I'm going to break this down for you guys a little bit. I need for you guys to understand this. It is not fair for pregnant women to use their sick time, their comp time, whatever time they have available, because they decide to expand their family. The reason for this is that because when these same women go to get promotion, any type of promotion test, right, the first thing that the MTA look at is your sick time, your sick record. The second thing they look at is your discipline record, right? So the authority want to see if you're coming to work, right? Any job would think that. Any job, you know, you think that would be a reasonable measure to look at. Like, is this an employee who comes to work, right? So being that women, only women can get pregnant, despite what the Democrats say. Only women can get pregnant. If a woman decides to expand her family and she wants to go without pay, she got to use her sick time, right? They're going to make her use her sick time. So automatically that puts that woman at a disadvantage. versus a man, right? Because a man do not have to use sick time because he's pregnant, right? And for some strange reason why the MTA is not really looking at this, they acting like women, and I say this every year, they acting like women fell out of the sky, and they don't know what to do with them. They never seen them before. They don't know how to treat them properly. This is the company that we work for. It's very misogynistic. Very misogynistic. And this is just how it is. Why do women have to sue in order to expand their family? I think that's very, very sick. And coincidentally, in which we go touch on a little bit later in the show, in the New York State budget, two important things that I want to point out regarding reproductive and maternal health. New York State is passing the first in the nation paid parental leave, providing 20 hours of paid sick time for pregnant employees to use for their prenatal care visits. The second thing I want to point out, and that's in green, is requiring paid breaks for breast milk expression in the workplace for 30 minutes. Those are two very important measures the New York State budget has taken. Now, what I want to say about that is our union administration is so weak. What's going to happen? First of all, I don't even understand why, if it's in the state budget, why don't it apply to MTA workers? Why doesn't it apply to MTA workers? Our union administration is so weak, they're going to negotiate or give something away in order to give something that the state legislator already agreed on. We've seen them do it with paid family leave. They gutted paid family leave, negotiated it, and watered it all the way down. All the way down they watered it, right? Now, the union was making the argument that, hey, you know, if we would have left it as is, the members would have been paying, you know, money to be in. I don't know how true that is, but whenever the state legislators give us something, our union end up negotiating for it, even though it's on the state books, which is very, very, very wild. Now, we're going to touch on the first topic that you see in the title of the show, Brooklyn Boat Brawl. Brooklyn Boat Brawl. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. There's just certain things that I just don't do anymore. It's just certain crowds that I just don't want to be a part of no more because of things like that. I like my life simple. I like my life safe, right? Fighting on a boat and they getting crazy, stabbing each other up. Let me just let y'all watch the video. Check it out. Oh. That's the wrong video. Let me get to the boat video. Here you go, right here. That was pretty, pretty, pretty wild, right? You see the fight start on the boat. You see when they get outside the boat, shirts are bloody. I'm telling you, y'all got to really be safe out there. Y'all really got to really, really, really think about the places that you're going and the crowds and I mean, it's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy out there. Got to remain safe and protect yourself. Now, I want to point out. Let's look at the next video I want to play, and I want to describe it to you guys. The old Brooklyn is back. The old Brooklyn is back. I want to show y'all what happened when Mike Tyson came to Brownsville the other day. Check it out. That was so dope to see Mike Tyson and Cannon Briggs, you know, mix it up a little bit, and two Brownsvilles, two Brown villains. Now, I mean, mixing it up a little bit, two older guys too. And you want to know what? Mike Tyson got a fight coming up with what's his name, Jake Paul. I don't want to see Mike Tyson fight. Mike Tyson been looking, he looking old. Listen, Mike Tyson ain't Mike Tyson no more. I will hate to see Mike Tyson get knocked out. I don't want to see Mike Tyson fight. I don't want to see Mike Tyson fight at all. Don't, Mike, don't do it. Don't do it, Mike, because if he knock you out, I'm going to be very upset. Don't do it, Mike. Don't do it. Please don't do it. Now, let me get into some more. Let me get into some union information, because, yeah, we're going to start discussing, you know, the lies and deceit of Local 100. The show is about to get real serious right now, because I personally do not like when people play with our intelligence. When they try to scam us, they scheme on us, they lie to us, they very deceitful. And the reason they get away with it is because we allow them to get away with it. Right, we don't do our due diligence to make sure that they're telling the truth, because at this point, you have to double behind everything that the union say. It's to the point, if the union say that the sky's blue today, you got to go out there. You know the sky's blue, but you got to go out there and look, because that's how much that they lie, or they tell half truths. Right, they do not keep it 100 with the members any longer. Right, so. For those who don't know or who haven't heard, this whole Corvell situation, right, this entire Corvell situation, the union act like that they had no idea what was going on. And I put a post on Facebook regarding this, and I'm going to break it down for you guys so you can understand exactly what's going on. So for those who don't know, Corvell is a workers' comp PPO, which basically is a set of doctors that you go to when you get hurt on comp. Listen, and it's not like other agencies do not have this, right? But the MTA chose Corvell, and the union act like that they didn't know anything about it. So let's take a look at this stuff, and I want to explain what's going on. So Richard Davis and his whole entire administration was trying to make us believe that we didn't know much, that they didn't know how we got Corvell. Like, they were surprised by the whole Corvell thing. But the truth is, they weren't involved the whole entire time. So let me put up this next screenshot. They was trying to make us believe that the Corvell implementation came from the language of the 2017-2019 contract. But that was a lie. That was a lie. Matter of fact, let me put that up. That's the 2017-2019 contract, right, where it mentions the workers' comp PPO. And we even had union reps put in a grievance about the whole entire implementation of Corvell. And they was, I guess that they was under the thought that the MTA unilaterally implemented this, right? Which was untrue, because if we go back to the other screenshot, as you can see, that the union knew about this since last year. They knew about this since last year. They signed the Corvell contract on July 27th, 2023. Now, why would union reps put in a grievance regarding Corvell if a deal was already done? Now, if they did put in the grievance, if they were telling the truth, it shows that there's absolutely no communication, no transparency between Richard Davis and his whole vice president department heads. There's absolutely none. Another thing it shows, Richard Davis was doing sneaky deals, all of these side deals, all of these stipulations, right? Now, I don't know. Maybe the reps who put in the grievance knew that Corvell was coming, but did the grievance or allegedly put in a grievance to cover for themselves. Now, even if they did put in a grievance, let's say they put in a grievance, which I'm going to say I believe that. They put in a grievance with Corvell. Why aren't they holding Richard Davis accountable? Why aren't they alerting all the members that a deal was made by Richard Davis and he didn't tell no one because he was doing sneaky deals? Now, I want to read the language from the July 27th, 2023 that shows you that they knew about the Corvell deal. And you guys see it right there in the red. We affirmed that the employer and the union engaged in negotiations that culminated in the arbitration with respect to the selection of a certified PPO network, and an arbitration award has been issued to have Corvell as the exclusive source for all initial treatment for the initial 30-day period after that date of the first visit of work-related injuries and illnesses suffered by members of the union. Now, Corvell is a big mess because they don't have doctors. They don't have enough doctors, right? They don't have their system set up properly. And workers who have been injured on the job, whether PTSD or physically, are waiting months to actually see a doctor. That's crazy. Now, my question is, why wasn't this inside of our contract? Why wasn't this inside of our contract? Richard Davis signed our contract on May 30th, 2023. The Corvell contract was signed on July 27th, 2023. What was the rush for them to sign an incomplete contract? What was the rush? Now, my thing is, as we get closer to this union election, right? And the union, if you don't know, the union election is in November. It's getting as clear as day, as clear as ever, that this current union administration can't be trusted. They don't have the logic. Their logic revolves around scamming and scheming and deceit and lies. And they pretty much incompetent to run this elaborate operation called Local 100. They're not competent enough to do it. Now, they are, Richard Davis and his crew, they are treating this union as if it's their own social club. They're not treating this as if this is a union. They're treating this like this is their own social club in the clubhouse or treehouse. They're selling us out every chance that they get. And us members, we need to wake up. We really need to wake up and figure all this stuff out, because it's not getting any better. It's not getting any better. Now, the next scam, and we're going to really break this down. I'm going to explain this to you guys, because this doesn't make any sense, right? Union put this up, I believe yesterday, when the New York State budget came down. And there were some things in the state budget, and I'm going to be 100% honest with y'all on my whole entire thoughts of all of this, right? So the union put up this post. TWU Local 100 Tier 6 wins. Extended provision for overtime during COVID-19 pandemic. Changed the final average salary calculation from 5 years to 3 years. Elevated punishment for assaults. Members now have added protection against assaults, including spitting, right? And I'm going to break the last two down, right? Because the extended provision for overtime during COVID-19, the pandemic, I'm not too clear on that. So I don't really want to talk on that. But the last two, I am very clear on, right? And I'm going to break them down separately. I'm going to touch on change the final average salary calculation from 5 years to 3 years, right? Now let's look at what the union actually had to say. Major victories in state budget for Local 100, pension reform, overtime calculation extensions, and protection against spending incentives. As the Albany budget does settles, TWU Local 100 can claim significant victories on three fronts. A more favorable calculation for Tier 6 retirement benefits, a carryover of overtime pension calculation benefits from the COVID-19 years, and a breakthrough in raising penalties for perpetrators and spitting incidents on New York City transit workers. These accomplishments are due to persistent engagement by our membership, who showed up in lobby day in unprecedented numbers, along with a full court press by union leaders and staff, said President Richard Davis. Davis, who credited the win to a new initiative organized by our Tier 6 Reform Committee chair and co-chair that brought a large group of transit workers, Tier 6 ambassadors to the state capitol as the budget was being finalized. ACT Director Charisse Dubois of Du Bois also commended all of the members who have been diligently contributing to the union's COPE fund, saying that without this strong financial base, these victories would not have been possible. We're going to touch on that. And what the New York State Central Labor Council is calling the most significant improvement for our public servants in 20 years, the legislator has changed the calculation of the final average salary in Tier 6 to a high three years instead of a high five. This will increase pensions on retirement for all Tier 6 members. Let me break that down for you guys for a second. And I'm willing to debate this with anybody. I'm willing to debate this with anybody. Now, it went from 5 years to 3 years, right? So basically what they're saying is that, I mean, this is common math, right? If you have less things, the average is going to be higher, right? We get that. So going from 5 years to 3 years, they're saying that you're going to retire with more money. Untrue. Untrue. It's no way possible you can do that with the cap being in place. And the cap only allow you to accrue between $15,000 to $17,000. I think it goes up depending on cost of living, whatever that may be, a year, right? But you're capped. So if they basing it off of the final average salary, but your final average salary is truly capped, how is that a victory? If you're capped, that means that they already have, there's a predetermined amount about how much you can make. So for an example, if you make $75,000 a year, the most you can make is $15,000 to $17,000 above that. So we talk about $90,000 to $92,000 92,000 hours. If the final average salary was in conjunction with the cap, it would have been great. Absolutely, it would have been great, right? If they would have gotten the percentages that members contribute, it would have been great, right? Because let's think about this. If you take away the cap and they leave the percentages the way it is, yes, you're going to be contributing more to your pension, but that means that you're going to actually be getting more in your pension. Going from 5 years to 3 years, they throwing us crumbs. They throwing us crumbs. And the union is parading around town like it's something that they did. They parading around town like it's something that they did. But let me put y'all on to game. Got to put y'all on the game. There's other unions claiming it too. You have the CSEA. Victory, another step forward towards Tier 6. There's other unions who are claiming this. Members did this by holding rallies, making calls, sending emails, and lobbying legislators, right? You got another union, the UFT. They are claiming the same thing, right? They are claiming the same exact thing. You have the PEF. You have PEF claiming the same thing, right? They are claiming the same thing. But if you leave it up to our union administration, and let me go back to that screenshot again, major victories in state budget for local 100 pension reform, overtime calculation, extensions, and protection against spitting incidents. They acting like that they did this on their own. Right? They acting like that they did this on their own. They did not do this on their own. In fact, if anyone knows, matter of fact, you know what I may do? I may have to get a lobbyist on this show to show you guys how lobbying actually works. Right? I may have to get a lobbyist on the show to show you guys how lobbying works. You're not going to get a bill passed in Albany going up there two times. Doesn't work like that. Albany does not work like that. Right? So for the union to think that members or whatever's going on in the union think that they went up there a couple of times and they moved the needle, absolutely not. Don't work like that. Does not work like that. Now, I want to point out to something that the PEF got, right? They got a COVID sick leave within this budget. Thanks to the advocacy of members, PEF was successful in extending this program until July 31st, 2025. It continues to be critical for protecting staff and patients, especially at SUNY hospitals, as well as in congregate care facilities at OMH, OCFS, DOCCS, and OPWDD. We are hopeful that progress against the virus continues so that we can continue to keep patients and staff safe from a necessary infection. Now, why couldn't Local 100 get us something like that? Why couldn't they get us something like that? The PEF, that was something that was specific to their cause. That was specific to their cause. Why couldn't the union get us something like that? Right? Now, there was absolutely no as far as Local 100 is concerned, there was absolutely no collaborating with other unions, no organizing or mobilizing with other unions to try to fight with this Tier 6 stuff. It was absolutely none. I put a post up probably a few days before the state budget came out. And I talked about why doesn't Local 100 organize themselves with other unions and go up there as a collective force to show that we are unified when it comes to Tier 6. Why don't they do that? It makes absolutely no sense. Now, mighty funny if you guys are paying attention, they could go up to Albany, lobby, right? The legislator would give all the union stuff, Local 100 would claim it as a win, but they can't claim things that pertain specifically to us as wins. And I just want to remind you guys of the other lie that they've been lying about for years. And they did this stunt actually during the last, I think the election that Tony Utano was running in, and sold us the dream of Tier 6 refund checks for overcharged members are on the way. And this is good news. The MTA has started reimbursing Tier 6 members who are overcharged for their pensions. The checks are in the mail. The first round of checks will be overcharges that took place this year, 2021. Reimbursements for overcharges that took place in prior years are expected to be issued in the first quarter of 2022. Can someone tell me where are those checks? So you mean to tell me you could bypass 130 Livingston, you could bypass 2 Broadway, you could bypass NYSIS, you could go all the way up to Albany, win all these bills, but can't figure out the stuff that directly pertains to transit workers and our plight? Where are these refund checks that y'all said that we had? Where are these refund checks? Y'all doing all this winning in Albany, but can't win in the MTA? Can't figure out comp and how the MTA with impunity controvert and appeal our cases. You guys cannot figure out these refund checks. This post literally says the refund checks are in the mail. Where are these checks? Where are these checks? And these checks should be ongoing because any Tier 6 member that comes on, we're still being overcharged. We're still being overcharged. So where's the money? These checks should be reoccurring every single year. This is a fact. These people have been lying to us and gaslighting us this whole entire time. Now, before I get into the next part of what they claim they won, I'm going to break that down, and I'm going to be 100% honest with that also. If you want to call into the show, you can call in live, 563-999-3714. If you want to donate to the channel, you can donate via Cash App, $ Progressive Action 100. Support who supports you. Now, this next part that I want to get into, and it's in the yellow. Another victory of particular, they misspelled that. Another victory of particular import is that spitting on a transit worker, a disgusting form of assault, but one which did not rise to the level of a crime in the past, will now become a Class A misdemeanor. For the first time, spitting on a transit worker will be a crime that is bail eligible, meaning that a judge will now have the power to take such a perpetrator off the street pending court hearings, right? Now, I want to be clear. This looks great on paper, but let's think about this for a second. You think someone who is going to spit on you or spit on you care about a misdemeanor charge? Let's be 100% honest with ourselves. Another thing, misdemeanor charges, whether they Class A or Class E, they get reduced all the time in court to either harassment or violations. A misdemeanor is not going to deter spitting. Maybe a felony will, but definitely not a misdemeanor. Now, the second part of this is, once again, the union has done absolutely nothing about the issues we have with workers' comp and how the MTA with impunity controvert and appeal cases. Okay. Now the person may get arrested for spitting on you. But now workers' comp is going to controvert your claim and appeal it and make you wait a year plus just to get paid, just to see doctors. This is a fact. This is a fact. This is a fact. Now, I'm dive a little bit more deeper in that, but let's be clear. The union administration has done absolutely nothing to try to fix this workers' comp issue. They have not tried to put it in the contract. They have not tried to get politicians to sponsor any legislation to fix what the MTA do to us, how they try to financially force us back to work. So picture being spit on, the person get arrested, and the MTA controversial claim. How does that help the MTA work? Those things should go hand in hand. They should go hand in hand. How does that help the MTA work? Right? Oh, you know what? Yeah. You're going to get, it's a class A misdemeanor for assault on the transit, for spitting on the transit worker now. Right? Spit on the transit worker, it's a class A misdemeanor. Let's look at what they got in the New York State budget. Once again, that what they released. Now, as you can see, I have two things circled off, basically. All right, I want to start off with the yellow, and that's pertaining to us. Fighting to prevent the aggravated harassment of transit workers. This budget creates a new Class A misdemeanor, aggravated harassment in the second degree, which would make it a crime for an individual to intentionally subject a transit worker to an unlawful physical contact, and what the union is celebrating is the spit. Now, coincidentally, look above that in the red. Combating retail theft crimes creates a Class E felony for assaulting a retail worker, allowing for aggregation of retail theft crimes to make it easier to prosecute repeat offenders. But let's focus on the first bullet point. Creates a Class E felony for assaulting a retail worker. Look at the transit workers in the yellow now. This budget creates a new Class A misdemeanor for aggravated harassment. Now, I want to be clear. I want to be clear here. But I know the naysayers is going to be like, well, look, you're getting a Class A misdemeanor for harassment, aggravated harassment. They saying that for an assault, they get a Class E felony. And their assault, in that language, if you look at the actual bill itself, it mirrors exactly what our bill says. Only reason I didn't put it on the screen because it's very small, so you won't be able to see it. But if anybody is interested in seeing the two, I have the actual bill language, right? So picture being a retail worker, and you have that protection. And imagine being an MTA worker, and you just misdemeanor A. See, that's not going to deter anyone from assaulting us or spitting on us. It is not. I believe any worker, retail worker, fast food worker, transit worker, if you assault a worker, period, police officer, I don't care who it is, all assaults should start at the felony level. Aggravated harassment, whatever it is, should start at the felony level. Fact. This is not going to deter anyone from assaulting us. And just to give you guys a reminder, we all see this on the bus property, on the train property. Assaulting MTA New York City transit subway personnel is a felony punishable by up to 7 years in prison. And it's New York State Penal Code 120.05, right? This is actual law. That is covered, and let me put this next thing on the screen. Just so you know what 120.05 is. Second degree assault is one of several offenses of assault in New York's criminal code. This offense is a Class D felony under New York Penal Code 120.05. It's a Class D felony. Okay, spitting became Class A misdemeanor. All the other stuff, the Class D felony for the more egregious assaults. Does any of this stuff work from assaulting a transit worker? Does any of it deter people? We just had two people maced today. A couple of weeks ago, conductor almost got his head cut off. We just had a transit worker punched in the face. None of this stuff deters anyone from violating us, and especially spitting. If someone spits on you, the first thing they should be thinking is the butt whipping that they may be facing. Not the handcuffs, not, oh, I'm going to get a Class A misdemeanor. Nah, it don't work like that. That's what they should be thinking about first. Right? And then, let's be honest. Do we know of anyone who has gotten this? And we always got to pay attention to language. It's punishable by up to 7 years in prison. Right? But you want to know what? Most of the people who assault us, they don't even serve jail time. That D felony end up being knocked down to a misdemeanor. So if someone is charged spitting on you, it's a Class A misdemeanor, what do you think the DA is going to do? Right? Because normally when they offer you a plea, it's way lesser than what the actual charge holds, right? And a Class A misdemeanor is punishable by up to 1 year in jail. I could promise you this. Nobody's going to get 1 year in jail for spitting on you. Most they're going to get is a night in the precinct or in the booking. That's about it. And when it's time for them to go answer to those charges, and they take a plea, it's going to be a violation, right? So why is the union acting like that this is such a big victory? We live in a city where people are carrying guns and being let out, no bail. No bail. What do you think will happen? You get spit on. Nobody's looking at that as being serious. Nobody's looking at that as being serious. So what's really going on? Why are they always attempting to gaslight us, attempting to act like that they're doing a job, that they're working really hard? And it's nothing but deceit. It's nothing but deceit. Now, y'all know I deal with the best workers' comp law firm in the city, which is the Romano Law Firm. I spoke to him probably like 2 months ago. And he did tell me that the workers' comp judges are starting to not accept spitting as a claim. right, for some strange reason. They not accepting spitting as a claim. And so now with this being a law, right, let's just say they do accept it as a claim. There's no mechanism in place that would stop the MTA from controverting your case or appealing the case, because the union do not want to take up that fight with the MTA. Why? Why? Because they in bed with the MTA regarding gain sharing, regarding employee availability. This is a fact. This is a fact. I do not understand what's the continued gaslighting for. And I feel sorry. You know, there's people that really believe in this organization called Local 100. There's people that really want to see change, and some of them just don't know better. They follow behind these reps blindly. They don't ask no questions. They don't challenge anybody. And they want to believe in their heart that they're doing the right thing. Right? And guess what? They were doing the right thing. Going to lobby day is the right thing to do. Going to your union meetings is the right thing to do. Questioning your reps is the right thing to do. They're following an organization whose main objective is to gaslight us so they can get votes for the next election. To act like that they're doing the right thing by us just so they can get votes in the next election. This is what they do. What they do. And if anybody want to publicly come on the show or call into the show and debate me on these facts, because there's some more stuff that I could say about this. There's more stuff that I could say about this. There's more stuff that I could say about this. Oh, hold on. The Knicks is up by one, y'all. Oh, it's over. It's over. Shout out to the New York Knicks. Shout out to the New York Knicks. But yeah, I could literally, as they say, literally, I could debate them on any topic regarding this. Any topic. In order for us, or in order for to see a change in the assaults of transit workers, there needs to be a mandatory minimum of jail time for assault on one of us. Mandatory minimum. No questions asked. If you assault one of us, mandatory jail time. Starting at 1 year. Because I don't care how crazy someone is, there needs to be mandatory minimums when you assault a transit worker. There needs to be mandatory minimums for a lot of crimes. You carry a gun, mandatory minimum. You shoot a gun, that's illegal. You shoot somebody, mandatory minimum. Mandatory minimum. But if you want to deter crimes against transit workers, there must a mandatory minimum back. Right? And I want to take you guys back to a quote that Malcolm X said. And he was talking about progress. He said, if the knife is stuck 9 inches in my back and you pull it out 6 inches, is that progress? No, it's not progress. If you pull that knife all the way out my back, is that progress? That's not even progress. Progress is when you actually start healing the wound. And Local 100, this administration, absolutely no intention to heal the wounds that they created. No intention. Let's think about this. They, oh, we fixing Tier 6 and we doing this and we doing that. When Tier 6 came, Stand United, a.k.a. Members First, said that Tier 6 was worth its weight in gold. They was trying to sell it to the members. So after celebrating it for all these years, now they want to act like they doing us or they doing the right thing by fixing the same exact things that they co-signed, that they tried to gaslight us with back then. These people are diabolical. They are evil. Why can't they just keep it real with us? Why can't they just be honest with us? Why can't they be? You want to make a cameo? Oh, come right. Oh, you want to make a cameo? Want to show your face on camera? Come here. Our little guy here. Hello. Our little guy here. Hey, say hi. All right, handle your business. But I just don't understand. And you want to know what? If I'm so wrong, I challenge any VP, any top 11 officer, any union rep, any supporter of this union to challenge me on this show regarding any topic, debate me on any topic, any topic. And like I said, I feel sorry for the people who actually want change, who actually following Stand United, a.k.a. members, I mean Management First. Because I know that y'all want change. Y'all want to get involved. But they taking you down an alley that doesn't have accountability. They taking you down an alley that's filled with lies, deceit, trickery, tricknology, smokescreen, three card Monty players, scam artists, con artists. That's what they do. And that's the only way that they know. Yes, you want to know what? If you don't know the issues and if you're not doing the research, you're going to believe every single word that they say. You're going to look at this right here. This is it. You're going to look at this right here, and you're going to say, wow, they did an amazing job. Our union is kicking behind. But the minute you read the fine print, you're going to realize that you was taken for a ride. This is a fact. Now, please make sure if you're watching on whatever platform that you're watching, if you're not following me, you're not subscribed to me, please make sure to follow, like, and subscribe. Follow, like, and subscribe. Follow, like, and subscribe to the channel, especially YouTube. YouTube, make sure that you subscribe to the channel. Subscribe to the channel. And also, you can donate to the channel via Cash App, $Progressive Action 100. And remember this, support who supports you, and like who like you. I'll catch you guys later. Peace.